Hey, Ryan, since you're not going to the game, where are you planning on watching the Wildcats?
I'll be stuck at the office, but I wish I could be lounging at home in front of my TV.
Yeah, me too. I've been thinking about getting like a big comfy recliner from Sam Levitt's Furniture.
Ooh, stylish.
Sam Levitt's Furniture has specials on a wide selection of recliners, so you can watch the game in style. You can check out a bunch of options at their Tucson locations. I'm thinking of getting one with swivel action.
Ooh.
But I kind of like the one I saw with cup holders.
Well, while Justin makes up his mind about which recliner he likes best, let's talk some sports.
From the Arizona Daily Star and Tucson.com, this is the Wildcast.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Wildcast Podcast. I'm Justin Spears, joined alongside here star football beat writer Michael Lev, and it is Wednesday. Some very interesting news breaking from the University of Arizona,
to say the least.
Yeah, I mean, very interesting. Arizona head football coach Rich Rodriguez has been fired. He was fired Tuesday night after an alleged lawsuit was filed worth $7.5 million. Michael, originally it was reported by USA Today, but we got all the details out. And
we sure did.
I mean, just, you've been working on this story for the last 24 hours. What can you tell us about the situation involving Rich Rodriguez and him being out of a job at Arizona?
Right. All right. So just for background purposes, in case anyone who's listening to this hasn't read any of our stories or seen any of our tweets or watched any of our videos, a former employee, administrative assistant in the football offices, filed this. It's technically a notice of claim, which is kind of a precursor to a lawsuit, basically. And she's seeking $7.5 million in damages, which is a crazy amount. I mean, everyone I've talked to can't believe that she's asking for that much, but she is, so it is what it is.
Yeah.
And she alleges that, you know, Rich Rod basically orchestrated a hostile work environment and that he sexually harassed her in a variety of ways.
Wow.
Now, we're not going to get into all the details here on the podcast. You can read them on our website. That we pretty much put it all out there. Our colleague Caitlin Schmidt wrote that story based on the notice of claims. It is obviously from, you know, one side of things. It's not Rich Rod's side. But there's a lot in there.
Yeah.
And it's very detailed and it's very specific. And I mean, it is like, you know, sort of Harvey Weinstein-esque stuff that he's accused of doing. And let's just say hypothetically that a quarter of it is true. It would still be bad.
Yeah.
You know, so not a very good look for Rich Rod, obviously. A contributing factor, not the only factor, in his kind of stunning dismissal on Tuesday night.
Yeah. And Dave Hickey and University of Arizona President Robert Robbins, they came out and released a statement Tuesday night talking about it was a hard decision, but at the same time, it was a right one. And you look at Arizona athletics in just this past year, two domestic violence cases just going on within the program, one with Orlando Bradford and the other one with Scotty Young Jr. Orlando Bradford's was completely different because he's serving prison time. He was actually sentenced.
Was it completely different?
Domestic violence.
I know. We've talked about that. And just, again, for background purposes, you know, Rich Rod dismissed Orlando Bradford from the program.
Yes.
And said at the time, anytime you put your hands on a woman,
that's it.
You're done.
You're done.
Okay. Now, the Scotty Young situation was different. I mean, what, you know, we've also detailed what Orlando Bradford did. He is in prison. It's despicable, extremely violent. What happened with Scotty Young sounded more like an argument with his girlfriend that kind of escalated. But did he put his hands on her at any point? I mean, he did.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't as bad as the Orlando Bradford thing. But when Rich Rod comes out and says that one thing and then does something else later on, it doesn't look good. It looks hypocritical, right?
Yeah.
And I know that, you know, that's just one thing. I know you're going to kind of get to the list of things that has been going on with Arizona Athletics. Sorry to interrupt.
No, absolutely.
You.
No,
Justin,
no.
Go ahead.
What, elaborate.
What's more?
And another thing is Craig Carter,
yep.
former U of A track and field coach,
yep.
Sexual assault on a former student athlete. And then on top of that, you add in the FBI investigation surrounding the basketball program for assistant coach Book Richardson allegedly paying recruits. So this is a bad look for Arizona. And what's kind of the murmurs that I've seen on Twitter was Greg Byrne pretty much left behind a complete mess. I mean, these were all Greg Byrne guys. And for Greg Byrne to kind of be look at Alabama right now, looking back, and I think Greg Byrne left at the perfect time. And now Dave Hickey is dealing with all the mess. And I think Dave Hickey and the President Robbins, I think they made a right decision. I think so, just because everything that's surrounding Arizona Athletics right now, a hard decision considering Rich Rodriguez had the team. I thought he had the team trending upwards because you have the young defense who exceeded the expectations. You have a Heisman candidate quarterback in Khalil Tate. Although that they lost four out of their five last games, I thought the future was bright. And looking back at the very last Rich Rod clip after the Foster Farms Bowl, that's all he talked about was how bright the future was. So definitely an interesting situation surrounding Arizona football.
I would add, on top of all the issues that have been happening at Arizona, I mean, let's just look at the world at large. All the sexual harassment stuff that has come out, the mm-hmm. Me Too movement. I mean, the way things are right now, you put up the word sexual and harassment together in any sort of sentence or statement regarding a high-level employee, that's pretty much a death sentence.
Yeah.
And like I said, the details are all in the story that we have up on Tucson.com. They're extensive. It's not like one or two incidents. I mean, it goes on and on and on, a pattern of behavior directed toward this woman. You know, you mentioned the on-field product. That was part of this too. I don't know the exact percentages of all this, but you know, we just put up a post about, you know, what Dave Hickey's thinking was basically and when he came to this decision. And the on-field performance of the team was a factor. Yes, they did improve markedly from last season, but you could argue that they should have been a lot better than 7-6.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I felt like some coaching decisions were questionable in the ASU game, that if they had played it a little differently, that they could have won that game.
Yeah.
They certainly did not it wasn't the best coached game in the Foster Farms Bowl. I think you could definitely argue that Jeff Brohm outcoached Rich Rod
yeah.
with a lesser team. I mean, they were the underdogs, right? They had a quarterback who was playing with a torn ACL. The other side had Khalil Tate. And they kind of got, and they've also kind of pulled out every trick in the book, whereas Arizona kind of stuck to its basic stuff, and a lot of which didn't work.
Yeah.
You could argue that a coaching decision at the beginning of the season prevented them from having a better record than what they ended up with, the decision being to start Brandon Dawkins over Khalil Tate at quarterback in the first place.
Yeah.
So that was a factor in this whole thing. Attendance was also a factor, according to our source. And, you know what it was like for a lot of those games. It's not all Rich Rod's fault that the attendance was bad.
Yeah.
There are a lot of factors that go into that, right? Like how old the stadium is, Wi-Fi, concessions, no beer,
noises,
start times, too noisy, all of that stuff. But if you're a winning program, consistently winning, generally speaking, that brings the people out.
Yeah.
So that kind of, you know, that falls under the head coach's umbrella too.
And for the time being, defensive coordinator Marcel Yates has been lifted as the interim head coach. However, a lot of players on Twitter have expressed interest that they really want Yates to be the lead guy. You could check out Michael Lev's 18 candidates that could be Arizona's next head coach. Of course, you know, people are going to throw out Kevin Sumlin, and
yep.
There's even been a report that Les Miles is apparently interested, and Les Miles is interested in every single coaching job out there. But these players really like Yates, and maybe I just haven't seen or haven't followed college football players from other programs, but I haven't seen anything like this where other than Ed Orgeron at USC, the players really wanted him to be the next head coach at USC. But a lot of players, including quarterback Khalil Tate, really want Yates as the head coach.
I have seen this before. I've seen it at USC. I saw it with Clay Helton.
Yeah.
When Lane Kiffin was when Steve Sarkisian was fired. It's hard to keep up with all the firings that I've been involved with in some form or fashion. When Steve Sarkisian was fired at USC, the players wanted Clay Helton, and he ended up getting the job, and he's done a pretty good job. I think there's a certain segment of the fan base that isn't satisfied with what they've done, and I understand because USC has the highest standards in the land pretty much. But what surprised me the most wasn't that a bunch of players came out in support of Yates, especially defensive players, because he coaches the defense, so those are kind of his guys. But when Tate came out and said it, that surprised me a little bit, because usually you don't see a lot of crossover, you know, from the offense to the defense. They're kind of, you know, they do their thing while the defense does their thing. But to see Tate come out, that was pretty significant to me. I don't think he's going to be the head coach. You know, I don't think that Marcel Yates is going to sell tickets. I don't, you know, necessarily know if he, you know, wants to be the guy who's the face of the program. You know, I do think it would be in the best interest of Arizona to keep Marcel Yates on staff as defensive coordinator if they can.
I totally agree.
It's not the easiest thing to do. Oftentimes you bring in somebody new and they want to have their own people. You know, if you bring in a coach who's a defensive-oriented coach, he might want to have his own defensive people. But if you do bring in someone who's kind of has an offensive background, and maybe he's not tied to any specific defensive coordinator, and you're able to, you know, convince him to keep Marcel Yates and convince Marcel to keep around, it would be good for continuity purposes, for recruiting purposes. I do think that they have something good in the works on the defensive side of the ball. All those freshmen, I know it didn't show up in all the statistics this past year. They kind of fell off, but I think it's going to happen. I think they're trending in the right direction. So keeping Marcel around, I think, would be a good thing.
Absolutely. And one of the guys I just mentioned was Kevin Sumlin. Yates actually worked under Sumlin.
He did.
So
at A&M. Yep.
So, I mean, there could be some sort of
relationship. Yeah, he also worked under Brian Harsin at Boise State. So that's another name, I think, that's worth discussing. And you know, the one I threw out there on Twitter last night that did not receive a very favorable response from the people, Justin, was Mark Helfrich.
Wow.
Oregon. The coach at Oregon. There was one guy who said that he destroyed the Oregon program, which I thought was a massive overstatement. He had one bad year, okay? They won double-digit games his first 2 years. Then they went 9-4, and then they went 4-8. And they had some injury issues, and they had trouble kind of finding a quarterback. And a lot of people felt like, well, you know, maybe Mark Helfrich just rode Chip Kelly's coattails, you know, that really it wasn't his doing that they made it to the national championship game, or that Marcus Mariota won the Heisman Trophy. But he was the quarterback coach under Kelly, coaching up a Heisman winner in Marcus Mariota. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't you like to have someone who coached Marcus Mariota come in and coach Khalil Tate?
Yeah,
I'm not saying that I want Mark Helfrich for the job. I'm not saying that he's the best candidate for the job, but apparently he's friends with Hickey. They're both, you know, they both have a lot of Oregon ties from back in the day. He's young. I don't think he has any of the character concerns that might worry you about some of these other candidates. So I don't know. I feel like that was a bit of an overreaction on Twitter last night. But then again, you know, that's Twitter. So
yeah,
that's Twitter, kind of the way things go.
Twitter always going to Twitter. Is there Dave Hickey being a Central Michigan guy? Is there any Central Michigan ties that you could see Hickey possibly bringing in somebody?
Well, yeah. I mean, the one guy whose name comes up in that regard is Butch Jones.
Oh,
you know,
man.
Back in 07, Brian Kelly was the coach at Central Michigan, and he left to go to Notre Dame. So Dave Hickey, I think it was in his first year, or entering his second year as the AD at Central Michigan, he promoted Butch Jones for the job. Here's the problem, okay? I think it's way beyond Butch Jones, you know, not necessarily living up to expectations at Tennessee. It's that he was on Rich Rod's staff at West Virginia. He's tight with Rich Rod. Would it be like bringing in another Rich Rod, you know, or would you want to bring in anyone who's got any associations with the guy that you just got rid of? Would Butch want to work here knowing what just happened to Rich Rod? Some people think it's unfair that Rich Rod got fired for something that he denies doing. So I think there's a lot of issues there with Butch, but certainly as far as the Central Michigan connections go and as a name that people are going to bring up, I think you have to mention Butch Jones.
Absolutely. Michael, as the story kind of unravels, we're kind of sitting here waiting. It could be as close as tomorrow. Heck, it could even happen today, next week. How are you just kind of manning down the whole situation and trying to stay on top of
it? Right. Well, I mean, you take it day to day, as they say, moment to moment.
Day to day.
You try to, you know, check in with as many sources as you can possibly think of, explore as many angles as you can. There's a lot to this.
Yeah.
You know, what about the current players? You know, how do they feel about things? Are they all going to stick around? Are some of them who are maybe on the fence about transferring? How does this affect their decision? You've got the staff. We mentioned Marcel Yates. There's a whole coaching staff.
Yeah.
Garen Justice was just brought in about a week and a half ago from Florida Atlantic, thinking that this is where he was going to coach for the next five or however many years. What about him? What about all the recruits who signed letters of intent on December 20th?
Yeah.
Something that would not have happened before they initiated this early signing period. So there's all sorts of angles. No shortage of stuff for me to do. It's just not going to be the, you know, easy, relaxing offseason that that we all thought, but that's how it goes sometimes, especially in this business.
Absolutely. And you mentioned, you know, current players. And one of the current players just so happens to be Rich Rodriguez's son, Rhett.
Right.
Freshman quarterback, came in, was kind of viewed as an offensive mastermind, if you will, because he spent so many years learning under Rich Rodriguez and his system, and now that he's a part of the team, I would imagine that he transfers, but at the same time, it's like, where is he going to go?
I don't know. That's a great question. I feel bad for Rhett Rod.
It's terrible.
I feel bad for Rich Rod's family. I feel bad for all the assistant coaches, at least those who weren't complicit in this, you know, purported sexual harassment that was going on within the offices. That's the thing that people don't ever really think about, is that all these guys have families. They all have lives. You know, they all have bills to pay. So it's always hard. You hope that, you know, those guys land on their feet. But yeah, very weird situation with the head coach's son being on the roster.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, when you look at that whole quarterback situation, we talked about this previously. I mean, Brandon Dawkins is going to graduate in May. It'd be great to have him around as a veteran quarterback, plan B type option. He could decide to transfer and go somewhere else if there's a totally new offensive staff with a new system, you know. Then you're really, and then let's say you lose him, you lose Rhett Rod, you lost Donovan Tate recently, who decided to leave the program. You know, they might have to bring in a quarterback or two just to have enough depth to get through next season.
And that's where that Jamari Joyner signing or commitment is kind of look interesting, because he received an offer from Nebraska, and when I messaged him asking him, did Dante Williams offer you? Because I thought, you know, Dante Williams being a former Arizona coach, was he the one offered? And he was like, no, Coach Frost offered me. So Scott Frost is definitely seeing the situation going on in Tucson. He's definitely trying to capitalize on it. So.
Scott Frost, the coach of the 13-0
UCF Central Florida National Golden Champions. Knights. The true national champion.
True national champ, perhaps. I mean, they beat Auburn, right? And Auburn beat Alabama, and Alabama. Well, anyway, we could play that game all day.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the court. You know, like I said, many angles to this story.
Many angles.
The whole quarterback situation, obviously, being a big one as far as Arizona's, you know, on-field performance is concerned for next year.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, that will do it for a quick update podcast. I'm Justin Spears. That is Michael Lev. Don't forget to check out every single inch, ounce of content that you need of the Rich Rod firing, available right now on Tucson.com and the Wildcaster app.
The free Wildcaster app.
We'll see you next time.